of all the incarnations of the Lord. There are many.
Nanama avataram. So many incarnations of the Lord appeared in this world. And it is said that some of the incarnations of the Lord, they are a part and parcel of the Lord. They are known as Amsa avatar, an Amsa, a part of the Lord. But Lord Ramachandra is not such an avatar. He's not such an incarnation of the Lord. Lord Ramachandra is known as Purna Avatar, as a complete incarnation of the Lord. Next to Krishna, he is the most complete manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world. Lord Ramachandra is showing us the path of perfect dedication. He shows us by perfect example how one at all times should act in an enlightened way. Here in this world, we are predominated by the mode of passion. When we go in higher regions of the universe, there the devatas are controlled by the mode of goodness. And acting in the mode of goodness means that the scriptures are making up every part of their life. The demigods are living by scripture. At each moment, they always consider what is proper, what is the right way to act, unlike human beings. Who have simply the mood of, like, how do I feel like acting? And then someone tells you, that's not right. And then you think, oh, leave me alone. But then Lord Ramachandra came into human society and he showed such an extraordinary, noble example. So free from small-mindedness, so broad, simply always remembering the bigger picture and not calculating for profit and gain in this world, where we lose our principles. Principles are great on Sunday or on Ramnomi, but when it comes down to business, it's different. When it comes to money, then, did I promise that? I don't remember that. No. Do I owe you that? I don't think so. Money. The entire world in the grip of greed, in the grip of lust. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paritranaya Sadhanam Vinasya Saduskritam Dharma Samstarpanatya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, appearing again and again to annihilate the demons. And to protect his devotees. Is it necessary for Krishna to come in person to kill demons like Ravana? To go into the forest and to kill 14,000 Rakshasas? Is it necessary? Single-handedly. Quite on the large side, cannibals. But Lord Ramachandra, single-handedly. How is it possible? Dasarat was going towards the assembly hall of his palace. As he entered through the gate of that opulent hall, a man next to the gate was playing a drum which had 2 meters of circumference. And he was beating on that drum with slow beats on the rhythm of the steps of the king. And as the king came striding down the aisle, the drum was just beating. And the king came in and everyone was like feeling awe and reverence. He king sat on his throne, surrounded by ministers and so many other dignitaries. And then the king spoke. And the king said that, I have called all of you here. I have called upon all of you because it is a great and difficult time. My age is advancing, and yet up to this point in time, I have no son. I have no son who will take the throne after my departure. I can leave this world any moment. Now who will take the throne? It is becoming a major problem. However, it was then Vasishtha, the preceptor of the king, who spoke. And it was Vasishtha who pointed out that, Your Majesty, there is no cause of anxiety, because soon you will be blessed not only by one son, but by four. So that was something. Everyone was kind of overwhelmed because sages are known to see beyond what ordinary people can see. Sages are able to see the future or to see things that are arranged from above. In this way, everyone had great faith in the sage, and therefore everyone believed, sons will soon be born. Now, it is interesting that although Dasarath never had a son, he did have a daughter earlier. He did have a daughter. The daughter was named Shanta. And this daughter, somehow or other, was Dasarath had a very close relationship with Raghupat. He's also a ruler and a king. And Raghupat was also childless. So both were feeling the same pangs. They were sharing the same misery. But Dasarath was a great and generous personality. So Dasarath simply one day said, My dear Raghupat, at least, as you have no offspring, and as I have one daughter, you please take care of my daughter. And so in this way, trying to alleviate the loneliness and the disappointment of Raghupat Maharaj. But then, as time progressed, we see that daughter played a key role in the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. Because there was a great sage who somehow or other was tempted by, he was performing austerities for the heavenly dancing girl game and broke his celibacy in the way that as she danced, his meditation was there and he passed seven. That was taken by a deer. And that deer gave birth to a son. Believe it or not, vicious ringer. Human, but horns, like a deer. And Rishyasringa, he later on, he was, because his father had been disturbed by this apsara, therefore the father was very rigid about brahmacharya, and he cursed anyone who would ever come into this forest to fall down. Anyway, somehow or other, was not there. Santa managed to attract Rishyasringa, who then married her. And because he was very pure, he became the priest to perform the sacrifice for Dasarat and to be the priest. And at that time, a deity appeared from the yajna with a pot, and that kumbha contained payas, it contained a sweet rice, a kheer, milk. And Dasarat was told that if he would give this to his wives, that then he would beget sons. So Dasarat had three wives, Kusalya, Sumitra, Keke. Now, for whatever reason, I can't say, but somehow or other, Dasarat gave half of that payas to his first wife, Kosalya, and he gave half to his youngest and most beautiful wife, Kekeyi, and he gave nothing to Sumitra. But the ladies, Kosalya and Kekeyi, each gave a share to Sumitra. Therefore, Kosalya had one son, Sumitra had two, she had twins because she got two shares. And Kekeyi had also one son. In this way, Kosalya became the mother of Ram, Sumitra became the mother of Lakshman and Satrughna, who were twins, and Kekeyi became the mother of Bharat. And like this, these four personalities appeared. From scripture, we understand, and also reiterated in Srimad Bhagavatam, that all these personalities, that Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that Lakshman and Bharat and Satrughna are his expansions, and actually that the entire Chaturvyuha appeared. The Chaturvyuha is an expansion of the Supreme Lord of Narayan, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pajuna, Aniruddha. So these four personalities, Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Ven, Bharat, Satrughna, they are this Chaturvyuha. And they appeared. So therefore, all of the four personalities were actually Vishnu Tattva. They were not ordinary human beings, but all were divine beings. And as such, the stage was set. As Ram grew up, he was dear to all, and we know that he was 16 that Vishwamrita came to ask Dasarat for a favor. And Dasarat was yes. Anything you desire, some charity, the sage has come. Please, what can I give you? Your son, please. No, my son, no. And Dasarat was ready to refuse, but how could he? Because he did not want to show a wrong example to Ram. So he was bound by his word, and therefore he had to give Ram. Because if he wouldn't, he would break his word and give the bad example to his sons. He gave Vishwamrita permission to take Ramachandra. Vishwamrita taught Ramachandra different mantras, celestial weapons, and so on, which were used in fights, and in a fight with a terrible demoness. And we will not go into the detail of that story, but basically, Lord Ramachandra killed that demoness and became invested with that blessing of Vishwamrita. And had all the celestial weapons at his disposal. Of course he already had them, right? Where's the question? Of course he has weapons that go beyond celestial weapons, that go beyond the weapons of the demigods, but for external reasons, to make him appear like a human being. Because this is the interesting part of the pastimes of the Lord, where he appears human and yet is superhuman. So in that way, to make him look human, he got his celestial weapons by some blessings of Vishwamitra. It was simply a service that Vishwamitra could offer to the Lord, and in that way become purified, actually. So it was Ram who was blessing Vishwamitra, not Vishwamitra was blessing Ram. That we understand. Anyway, so as things progressed, Ram returned glorious, and it was at that time that Dasarath was thinking, now is the time. The time to just pass on the throne to my son, and he was ready for the coronation of Ram. And then, of course, Kaikeyi was very pleased. Kaikeyi was very happy with the news. Kaikeyi, Mantra, her maidservant, who was not so beautiful, old lady with a hunchback, came and said that, oh, have you heard the news? Yes, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? Kaikeyi gave a jeweled necklace to Mantra. And Mantra just took those jewels and threw them on the ground. You foolish woman, don't you know? Don't you know what's happening? Do you realize that your son is not home at the moment? Do you realize that somehow or other the king sent him away? And do you realize that now, when Ram is going to be crowned as the king, do you realize that you will no longer be the favorite? That then Kausalya will be the favorite as Ram's mother? And you will disappear and be forgotten. Do you realize that? And you are rejoicing. In this way, she poisoned the mind of Kaikeyi. And then, of course, Kaikeyi had her boons, which she had earned in the past by heroic deeds, which she saved for later, two boons and arms, that Ram be banned to the forest and that Bharat be placed on the throne. And then basically we have the scenario. And Ram is so aloof. When Ram is asked to go to the forest, he's the only one who is not crying. Everyone is just totally brokenhearted. Dasarath is just, his heart is broken. Everyone, the whole kingdom. And Ram is totally calm, unaffected. I'm saying, I'll see them. I'll go to the forest to fulfill the order of my father. I must go now. And so, this is the beginning where we see a transcendental nature. A nature of not caring for any position in this world, but simply caring for acting in devotional service. So any devotee is meant to act like that. We are meant to just act according to what is favorable for Krishna's service and nothing else, all times. Not looking at, like, what am I losing, what am I gaining, no. Lord Ramachandra then left. He finally left. Sita came, Lakshman came. And they went on horses. They rode these horses. They came from Ayodhya. They went to the forest and had to cross a river. So there they were met by the king of the Nisalas named Guha, who was actually close relationship with Dasarath. So Guha was very happy to receive Ramachandra, and he understood his transcendental nature. So Guha, he had arranged for a huge feast. After all, they had traveled a long way. So he had prepared many, many opulent preparations. And then Lord Ramachandra said, "My dear Guha, thank you so much. I really appreciate that you made all these wonderful preparations." He said, "But I have taken a vow to enter the forest like an ascetic. So I cannot accept these things. Just give me a little water and give all these preparations here to the horses, because they have to go all the way back to Ayodhya. So just give all these things to the horses." And Guha did it. Right? He did it. He gave all this wonderful cooking, all this feast. He fed the whole feast to the horses. Now with that, Guha showed that he was a devotee. It showed that he understood, because anybody else would have said, "What? To the horses?" Like, you know, these are delicacies. These are delicious preparations, and you want me to feed them to horses? I mean, this is not straw. This is not men. This is not horse food. This is suitable for the gods. And you say, "Feed it to the horses." No, but Guha accepted it. And subsequently, they arranged for boats and took Ramachandra, Sitaram, Lakshman across the river. And on the other side, Lakshman made a bed of leaves. And then there was a group of bees. And these bees were taking honey from the flowers. And it's described, Ram said to Sita, he said, "Look at those bees. They're all drunk. They've been taking too much honey. Look, they're all intoxicated." But there was one bee that was not intoxicated. And that bee acted as the guide of all the other bees. And Ram said, "See, that's how it is in this world. There always has to be one who guides all the others who are intoxicated, just like a guru who guides his disciples." Sita cracked up. She was rolling on the ground with laughter, looking at those bees, and even the bees have gurus, and she couldn't believe it. And in that laughing, she found some relief, you know, from all the stress and all the tension, from all these very sudden, unexpected changes, one after another. I mean, it just all happened too fast to digest. It's like, so it all came out as she was rolling on the ground and laughing. So actually their time in the forest started on a happy note. It wasn't that bad at all. And of course, Dasarath, in great separation of his son, was just not able to bear the pain, and soon after gave up his body. Bharat was still with the king of Kaikeyi. He was still there and was being treated very nicely, was being given many gifts. Anyway, then the news came that Dasarath had departed. And somehow or other, Bharat immediately left and with great speed went back to Ayodhya. And there faced the great calamity that his father had left. And he came to his mother's quarters. And he just asked, he said, "My father has expired, and where is everyone? Where is Ram? Where is Lakshman?" Then his mother said, "My dear son, I must tell you something." And she told him what had transpired. She told him the whole thing, and just barked. Sara became so upset. You lowly creature. You have been drowned to the forest. And it's just like, he even thought of killing her. The thought of killing her came to his mind. He cast her on the ground. It was like a very dramatic moment. And he's basically rejecting his mother right there and then. She's crying. I mean, she just like broken-hearted now that her son rejects her. And then comes the moment that Bharat assembles all the principal residents of Ayodhya. And they all go on elephants and horseback and chariots out to the forest to meet Ram. And this is in there, Bharat just falls at the feet of Ram and grabs his feet and begs Ram to return. But Ram says no. When he hears his father has departed, of course, he's experiencing great grief. So is Aksa and Sita. But still, the order has been given, and that order is still standing. So, 14 years, Ram will stay in the forest, and for nothing, he'll go back. So finally, Bharat brings out some shoes, and Ramachandra steps on these shoes, and the shoes, they are placed on the throne. And Bharat lives outside the city of Ayodhya, and there is living in a more ascetic condition than Ram. Bharat is performing the greatest austerities, is dressing in tree bark and fasting and so many things. So in this way, it is said that the austerity that Bharat performed while ruling was actually greater than what Ramachandra performed. Yes. So we're looking at the transcendental brothers, and I can jump ahead for a moment. And in that, after the whole battle is over, after finally Ram is victorious and so on, there is one pastime which takes place, which is interesting. That pastime takes place, they visit the ashram of Agastya Muni. And as they come to that ashram of Agastya Muni, Agastya Muni, he says to Lord Ramachandra, he said, actually all the credit for winning the battle goes to Lakshman. It actually goes to him. Ramachandra is asking how is the credit going to Lakshman? And Agastya Muni said, look, the most powerful warrior in the entire battle, even more powerful than Kumbhakarna, was undoubtedly Indrajit. Indrajit was extremely powerful. He was worshipping various deities and gaining great power from his worship. He was virtually invincible. But Lakshman defeated him. Now, how could Lakshman defeat him? Said Agastya Muni. Said, because Indrajit had a boon, and that boon was that he could only be killed by a brahmachari who had not slept nor eaten for 14 years. Said, like, you know? So then Ramachandra goes, Lakshman? A brahmachari? Said, yes, he's a brahmachari. Remember that time when the ornaments of Sita were shown. They had been dropped. Sugriva was showing the ornaments of Sita. And Lakshman didn't recognize these ornaments. The only ornament he recognized were the ankle bells. Because during all those 14 years, Lakshman had only looked at the ankles of Satan. Laxman had never, never ever looked up from her feet. So all he knew was the ankle bones. Brahmachari, said Agastya Muni, definitely Brahmachari. Yes, 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 okay. But not eating, Lord Ramachandra said. Laxman stood there. And Lord Ramachandra said to Laxman, Laxman, I personally, every day, gave you a fruit and said, take this fruit. And Laxman said, yes, you said, take this fruit, but you didn't say, eat this fruit. So, I actually didn't eat it. I just put it out in the forest. Then Lord Ramachandra said, whatever has been touched by Laxman, because he's a transcendental personality, becomes invested with transcendental power, therefore that fruit must be still there in the forest. He said, Hanuman, you can do anything. Hanuman, bring all those fruits here immediately. And then Lord Ramachandra arranged that all those fruits of that were brought back by Hanuman were being counted. So counting all the fruits and counting, and there were four short. So Lord Ramachandra said, so Laxman, how about those four fruits, huh? Did you eat them? No, Laxman said, no. I didn't eat them. Actually, those were the days that you forgot to give me a fruit. I forgot to give you a fruit. Yes, you forgot to give me a fruit on the day that our father ascended to heaven. Oh, I guess that's true. Yes, you forgot to give me a fruit on the day that Sita was kidnapped. Well, that was a day. What could you expect on that day? Yes, I forgot, Yes. And you never gave me a fruit on the day that I got shot. No, of course not, Jemaine. We're not in a condition to have fruit, And the day that you were fighting Ravana, that day it was such a terrible battle. It just took from the morning till the night. So many terrible things were going on, and Ravana was just impossible to defeat. I remember. Only in the end, finally, when Ravana was defeated, that day you never gave me any fruit. So those 4 days, you didn't give me any fruit. It's okay, but, what about sleep? You never slept. No. All these 14 years, Laxman never slept. At night, he stood guard. But after the whole battle was over, and when they actually left the ashram of Agastya Muni and went to